Chapter 48.
Harrow.
If I'd been thinking straight, I would have finished off the lictor. She was totally incapacitated, and she'd tried to kill you once already. Instead, I took us out into the steaming corridor. The place was filling up with smoke or steam, and the alarms were going off like crazy, and I couldn't see any sign of wherever Kithareya had gone. I picked a direction, and I set off down another hallway. The one I went down had a trail of dead bees, their skulls staring upward, green goo sprayed in big webs along the hallways. Took out one living bee myself, but it was pulling itself down the corridor with a couple of skewer holes in its abdomen already, so I couldn't really add it to my count. I came to a big, dim, open room. High ceilings, a huge table pushed to one side and wrapped up in tarps. There were dead heralds everywhere. It was a fuck show of curled-in toes and creepy human hands. The floor was seething with slime and bones, completely gross and bad. You would have loved it. Past the huge field of revenant space wasps in the stinking dark, there was a kitchen area with another few dead bees. A green-stained white robe had been discarded at the threshold, and standing on one of the countertops... I didn't recognise her at first. The last time I'd seen her, she had been flat on her ass, screaming after an impromptu divorce between her arm and her shoulder. It looked at first like she was wearing some kind of metal glove from the right shoulder down, but the light from the hallway moved over the long, dark gold skin of the humerus, joints sliding soundlessly as the twin forearm bones moved, the rapier grasped in bony fingers closing over an ugly wad of fat where the palm should have been. Her hair and skin were colourless, that pallid face brightened to see me.
"Harrow," she said.
"Harrow, she was genuinely delighted to see you. The smile on that thin white face was real.
Harriet, you're..."
I moved closer and totally fucking ruined her day.
"Alive, bitch," I said.
That expression hardened like it had been dropped in quickset concrete. In the gloom, her face was a pale floating blotch with shadowed features. I couldn't imagine the eyes, but I knew they wouldn't be hers. She had long since ascended to the rank of double douchebag. Ianthe flicked a lock of goose-stained hair over her shoulder, leaned against the kitchen wall and said, "Oh, you."
"Nona Jesmus, I'm sorry. I was averagely good all my life, at least not criminally bad. I did a bunch of shit I'm not proud of. Some of it I regret, some of it I don't. I absolutely regret not kicking Crux down a flight of stairs and watching him go, oof, ow, my bones, down each step, which, now that I think about it, does not help the case I am making here. I wasn't absolute garbage. Maybe you'd agree.
But when I saw that tall, hot glass of skank and heard her diffident, oh, you, like she'd never faked to your fucking face, like she couldn't see a corpse that was obviously there, like she'd never messed you up or messed around with you, like she'd never seen you vulnerable and smacked her pallid, mummified lips, like she'd never put her hands on you, never made you want her, and never imagined there'd ever be a reckoning. There would be a goddamn reckoning. Nona Jesmus, I was going to wreck her. I said, "Do you want your ass kicked now, or do you want your ass kicked later? Or both?" "Please, let's address this like gentlewomen," said Ianthe, without much hope.
"Hell no! I'm going to pull your whole ass off," I said. "You want that? You want Harrow to grow you a new ass bone where I pulled off the old one? Let's dance, Tridentarius."
"This can't be happening. She's not even into you, okay? It's just the bones. She's into bones. One of the many aspects I possess that you now tragically lack."
"Get down here," I insisted. "Fight me."
Perhaps I should have guessed that the moment your footstep cursed this universe again, you would issue me these comedy challenges, she said wearily. "What was your name again? Goblin? Gonad? Help me out here."
Your cavalier knew my name, I said. Corona knew my name. You know my name. She fell silent. I said, Gonad was pretty good, mildly amusing. Thanks. Goblin wasn't. I haven't had a good day. I'm very stressed right now. Give me a break. You have 3 minutes of me being reasonable, and then I'm going to beat you so badly that you look like a fourth house flag, I said, and lowered my sword. Is it over? Did you do the thing? You know, fight the whatever. The resurrection beast, she said. No, if you must know. We engaged it for a while. Mercy Morton went AWOL. Nobody expected that. Then Harrowhark dropped. We had expected that, though I'd hoped. Things got difficult. After Augustine dropped out, I was not about to stay down there with a two-person team. That creature is large. I surfaced, and here I am, and here you are. If you're talking about the sour-faced donkey's ass with the net, I said. Yes, Mercy, said Ianthe instantly. She put a sword through Nona Jesimus's back. Last I saw, she was thrashing around in a puddle. That white face in the darkness sharpened. I heard her indrawn breath. You're certain that Mercy tried to kill Harrow, she said, after a moment. Yeah. But that doesn't... Why would she... Do not fucking ask me for information. I could not be more lost right now. Help me down, Ninth, she demanded. I cannot walk on these things without succumbing to a strong desire to scream and loose my bladder, and we have to talk, you and I. I kicked a path for her, rolling some of the bees clear with your arms, shouldering them out of the way until a thin aisle was cleared for Ianthe to walk through, shuddering all the while. When we made it out into the hallway, she took a few moments, leaning against the wall, framed against the unbelievably tacky bone decor. All the skeletons in their little outfits and the mummified busts in niches and the fanned-out rings of arms holding jewels or swords or whatever. That place was like a party where everyone was dead. She froze when we heard that infernal buzzing from down the corridor. It was followed by a shout. Stay here, I said. Get fucked, she said thickly. I absolutely did not become the eighth saint to serve the King Undying so Gideon Nav could play hero for me. Why did you ascend to be a lictor? Ultimate power and posters of my face. Fair. The end of the corridor opened into a wider hallway, obviously meant to showcase that same King Undying's every grotty little trophy. The hall was lined with pillars of bone sweating in the heat. Runnels of moisture trickled down the pale carvings, and I readied my sword. But I was too late. The bees were already dead. They were strung up neatly from the ceilings in strangling nets of tendon, squeezed to death, thick streams of green slime dripping from their bodies all over the black and white tiles. Some of the lamps had been smashed in the chaos, and even now swung dangerously from the ceiling, strobing over these hideous parcels. A figure stood in the hallway, breathing hard into the crook of his elbow. He hadn't even drawn his rapier, though somebody obviously had at some point, as piles of dead bees lay in the corner segmented neatly. It was the lictor you called the Saint of Patience, alive and unhurt, apart from a gleam of sweat and blood on those snobby aristocratic features. I was struck again by how almost unreal lictors always looked, or like they were more real than anyone else was, more present, painted in more saturated colours. He kept running one hand over his flat, combed-back cap of fair greyish hair and looked as though he was thinking seriously about power chundering. When he saw us standing in the doorway, he approached and snapped, Chick, we have to get back in there. Gideon hasn't surfaced, so he's fighting the damn thing alone. Help me find your elder sister. Wait, Harrow? His surprise shifted almost immediately to distracted annoyance.
For the Emperor's sake, Harrowhark, if you lived, could you not at least have dropped in to assist? But he had stopped dead, and he was looking at us. At your face. He looked at my eyes in your face in the same way the other Lictor had, and any colour in his own drained straight away. I've seen a lot of things in my time. Swords, pictures of ladies who lost their clothes in an accident, a bunch of corpses, eclectic maybe, though now I think about it, maybe not the widest variety. But I have never seen anyone look at anything the way those Lictors looked at us. Mercy Morn looked at us like we were the picture in the dictionary next to unhappiness. Augustine looked at us like we were the last thing he'd ever see. John, he breathed, and joy. And then he fucking legged it. When I turned us around to look at her, Ianthe was watching us with cautious, half-suspicious curiosity. She never did show all her cards. It was pretty shitty the way she towered over you, over a head above your height, a bleached and charmless reed of a human. She'd never seemed that tall back at Canaan House, but I wasn't used to your eyeline. Mystery on mystery, was all she said, and then, how I hate seeing you in her face. You've got 2 short minutes left before I punch you right in the butthole, I said. Follow me, we haven't got much time, quite apart from your hurtful threats of sexual violence, she said. Why, your fist is so big and my butthole is so small. Just move, Tridentarius. I'm not ready to laugh at your goddamn jokes. She took us, gagging every time we got too close to an oozing, sagging space bee corpse, which was a much more comfortable way to laugh at her than watching her mocking mouth form the word butthole to her amazing golden white room. I was almost too stressed and distracted to appreciate that awe-inspiring painting of the banging cavalier holding a melon, with her necromancer friend standing on a plinth while the wind blew leaves to hide his junk. That was art. Completely worth dying for, just to see for myself. Hurry up, I have a letter for you, said Ianthe. Harrow, it was in your handwriting. She handed me a fat, bulging envelope with your handwriting, and it said, to be given to Gideon Nav, and I felt strange. Time softened as I held it, and I didn't even care about the barely repressed mirthful scorn on the other girl's face. It was your curt, aggravated handwriting, curter and more aggravated than ever, like you'd written it in a hurry. I'd gotten so many letters in that handwriting, calling me names or bossing me around. You'd touched that letter, and I... You know it was killing me twice that you weren't there, right? You must know it was destroying me to be there in your body, trying to keep your thumbs on, and I couldn't even hear your damn voice. I peeled open the envelope. You'd sealed it up tight. Though I was pretty sure that Tridentarius had busted it open in between. She was just that type. And found a little piece of flimsy with the edges still ragged from where you'd torn it. The letter was wrapped around a black, folded-up bunch of angles. Smoked glass, thin black frames, mirrored lenses. A little bend in one arm, but otherwise you'd kept my sunglasses. I slid them on your face immediately. They were a little too big for you. They kept sliding down your nose. I had to bend the hooks behind your ears to make them stay. With my eyes safely hidden, I opened the paper, and it just said one thing. 4 stupid goddamn words. No dry, no nonagesimus explanation, no instructions, no commandments. In a way, I would have killed for one of your lists of rules about exactly how to treat your body, how I was going to have to take showers with all your clothes on, which, by the way, I'd already planned on doing. But I almost knew what you'd written already, so I don't know why I was surprised. 1 flesh, 1 end. Which did not make me happy, Harrow. It did not fill my heart with soft and sentimental yearning.
You set me up. You set all of it up. I gave you one damn job, and instead you rolled a rock over me and turned your back. I spent all that time drowning and surfacing in you over and over and over, and all because in the end you could not bear to do the one thing I asked you to do. I wanted you to use me, you malign, double-crossing, corpse-obsessed bag of bones, you broken, used-up shithead. I wanted you to live and not die, you imaginary girlfriend-having asshole. Fuck one flesh, one end, Harrow. I already gave my flesh to you, and I already gave you my end. I gave you my sword. I gave you myself. I did it while knowing I'd do it all again, without hesitation, because all I ever wanted you to do was eat me. Which is, coincidentally, what your mother said to me last night. She is such a romantic, drawled Ianthe. I crumpled the flimsy and crammed it in your pocket. Tridentarius, I said, and I had to take a breath to stop myself from hewing her in half. Then I said, if you keep acting like you know her, not even like you care about her, but like you know the first thing about her, I will end you here and now. Everything you did to her, you did because she was alone. You thought nobody gave a shit about Harrow Hark, Nona Jesimus. You played with her because you thought it was funny. But she never gave you anything. You never got anywhere. Naberius's eyes narrowed. I hated those eyes and that face. I kept expecting to smell hair gel. Ianthe sat down on the bed with her long, skinny legs crossed at the knee, that waxen face just one more memorial on this goddamned floating funeral, and she remarked, did you? What are you talking about? I am talking about forgetting, you big-mouthed warrior nunlet, she said, and examined her fingernails, and levered a glob of dried-up green from her thumb with a brief flash of nausea. Good God, try taking Coronabeth's memories from me. I'd kill you myself. Love, don't make that face, child. I have loved plenty. True love is acquisitive. You keep anything, strands of hair, an envelope they might have licked, a note saying good morning, simply because they wrote it to you. Love is a revenant, Gideon Nav, and it accumulates love stuff to itself because it is homeless otherwise. I'm not saying she didn't care about you. One does care about one's cavalier. It can't be helped. But I watched Harry rearrange her brain so that she could empty herself of you. I laughed right in her face. Oh, shit, I said, once I'd stopped, because it was weird to hear you giggle that much. Sorry. It was pretty funny. You think you can make me jealous? You think anything I did has been to make her love me. You don't know. She didn't even tell you. Her face didn't flicker. The wan features were schooled into a look bright and interested, but those oily, brown-pebbled eyes were like a snake's. Enlighten me, she said. Hang on. I don't want to let this pass by. Harry. I thought it was cute. Elucidate, Gideon. We really don't have all day. Like I said before, she's just not into you. She's into bones. She gave her heart to a corpse when she was 10 years old, I said. She's in love with the refrigerated museum piece in the locked tomb. You should have seen the look she had on when she told me about this ice lolly bimbo. I knew the moment I saw it. I never made her look like that. She can't love me. Even if I'd wanted her to. She can't love you. She can't even try. She said, way too carefully, oh, please, as though... But I cut her off. Don't start the I was toying with her mwahaha noise, because I won't believe it. Your plan backfired, Tridentarius. You've got the sickness. I know the signs of Nona Jesimitis. You were all lined up for a
big hot injection of vitamin H.
Ianthe scrubbed at her forehead briefly with her bone hand.
Really? A corpse? She said, with not totally believable carelessness.
She wants the D, I said, and the D stands for dead, and... sorry.
I think I need a drink, said Ianthe, and she murmured to herself, all that fuss about the saint of duty, what a little hypocrite.
Don't think this means you get more than the teeny-weeniest smidge of pity from me, I added. If you think anything I did to make her love me, then you don't know anything about her and me. I'm her cavalier, dipshit. I'd kill for her. I'd die for her. I did die for her. I'd do anything she needed, anything at all, before she even knew she needed it. I'm her sword, you pasty-faced, Corona-Beth-looking knock-off.
Always your sword, my umbral sovereign. In life, in death, in anything beyond life or death that they want to throw at thee and me. I died knowing you'd hate me for dying. But Nona Jesimus, you hating me always meant more than anyone else in this hot and stupid universe loving me. At least I'd had your full attention.
Ianthe was chewing pettishly on a lock of that bone-yellow hair. I added, I need you to lay off. I was already the worst thing that ever happened to her, and she doesn't need you trying to one-up that, like, bet I can make this double shit. I watched her recross her legs slowly at the knee. She was no longer examining her nails. She looked at me with a searching, almost studious expression, pale lashes down over her dead man's eyes. Her biceps weren't bad, actually. There was definite muscle in her remaining skim milk arm. Nothing to write home about, but she didn't have to be completely ashamed. Unlike you.
You're wrong, you know, she said calmly. It's an interesting revelation. Perhaps it even gives some context. But my attachment to Harry isn't remotely what you think it is. I'm not her cavalier, her servant, or thrall. I am a lictor. Harrow is a lictor, and the centuries will entangle us whether she wants them to, or... Nev, if you persist in making jack-off motions when I'm talking, I will show you what Harrow's kidneys look like. That's what I'm talking about, I said. Don't show me her kidneys, don't think about her kidneys, don't do anything with her goddamn kidneys. Get a grip! Don't look at her blood, or lick her bones, or do any of the shit necromancers lie and say they don't do the moment two of them get nasty. She shrugged that gold-skinned shoulder. What can I say? She said. I love a little gall on gall. Reverse everything I just told you, I said. Let's get married. Ah, the romance I have been waiting all my life, she said pleasantly. Babs always said it would come along, or at least he once said I would go to hell and get fucked, which I took as a roundabout way of expressing the same thing. That's all I had to give you, Gideon. Now we are going to get out of my bedroom, and I'm going to take you to teach her. The Emperor of the Nine Houses, the Necrolord Prime. I said, no thanks, I'm good.
He needs to know. He can help you.
I might lie down and see if this fixes itself, I suggested.
Do you want Harrowhark to reclaim rightful ownership of her body or not? She asked reasonably.
She knew I couldn't argue with that. And when she looked at my face, she added, this is your chance, Gideon. If you want to help her, this is the only way. And for the third stab, I will remind you that a resurrection beast is descending on us, on her, as we speak. If you'd come back, maybe I wouldn't have ended up following Ianthe Tridentarius to see God. But you didn't. You were gone. Might have been a good thing in this instance, honestly. I still didn't know if you were going to kick my ass for that conversation, or if you would be sorry for me.
I knew which one would have been worse.